Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 7th of April, 2017. We're still in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That will end on Monday at sundown. Today we are going to be doing the last chapter of Amos, chapter 9, which is a short chapter, and then the book of Obadiah, which is Obadiah in the Hebrew. But first, I would like to remind everybody that Eurofolk Radio has put out a Hebrew feast days calendar according to the Enoch solar calendar. Brother Hebert of North Carolina has put it together for us. It's beautiful. It's full color on heavy gloss paper, and it shows the feast days, it shows the Hebrew dates, and it shows the Gregorian calendar dates, so you don't get lost trying to figure out what's what. And if you would like one of these, please hit the donate button at the top of the page and send us a donation of $20 or more to get your calendar. Please put the word calendar in the message and give us your mailing address, and that way you will get your calendar and help to support Eurofolk Radio, because we surely need it. Okay, let's get into the last chapter of the book of Amos here. Let me clear the pipes and have a little water. The day I am recording this is a very moist, spring-like, warm day, and it's getting into my lungs a little bit. I apologize if I cough occasionally, but it's just part of the old age thing. So let's do chapter 9 of the book of Amos here. Let me change my glasses. I have my longer vision glasses on, and I really need to put my short vision reading glasses. There we go. Change the spectacles. Just made a spectacle of myself. Chapter 9, verse 1, the scribes put Adonai in the place of the name of Yahweh. So I changed it and put Yahweh back in it. They have done this a lot with the books, taking the holy name out, because the Jews said that it's too holy to pronounce, and therefore they had the scribes take the name out and substitute Adonai for Lord. Pardon me, but it's not Adonai, it's Yahweh. Verse 1. I saw Yahweh standing upon the altar, 4196. And he said, smite the capital, 3730. That's the top of a support column, so that the threshold, 5592, may shake, and cut off, 1214, their heads, 7218, all of them. And I will slay, 2026, the last of them with a sword. He that flees, 5127, of them shall not flee away. And he that escapes, 6412, of them shall not escape, 4422. These were the apostates at the temple. Now, does that sound like Yahweh loves everybody? Does it? Touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy. Oh, God is love. Yahweh hates a righteous hatred, and we are supposed to hate those that he hates. So enough of this Judeo-Christian church claptrap that Yahweh loves everybody and Yeshua, Jesus, loves everybody. That is not so. There are those that Yahweh wants destroyed, regardless of what the Judeo-Christians are teaching in their apostate churches in order to boost their collection plate. So they are liars. Verse 2 of chapter 9. Though they dig, 2864, that's kathar, as a dig a hole for refuge, like a foxhole to hunker down in. Not going to do them any good. Though they dig into Sheol, 7585, that's the land of the dead and its inhabitants, there shall my hand take them. Though they climb up, 5927, that's ascend to the sky, from there I shall bring them down. Verse 3. And though they hide themselves, 2244, in the top of Carmel, that's Mount Carmel, I will search, 2664, and take them out from there. And though they are hidden, 5641, from before my sight in the bottom, 7172, of the sea, there I will command the serpent, 5175, that would be the sea serpent, and he shall bite them. Now, these are all figuratives. In other words, anywhere they go, he's going to get them. They're hit. Verse 4, and though they go into captivity before their hated enemies, there I will command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set my eyes upon them for harm and not for good. So these evil apostate people are really going to get hammered. Verse 5. And the Lord Yahweh of hosts is he that touches, 5060, the land. And it shall melt, 4127. And all that dwell in it shall mourn, 56. And it shall all rise up like a stream, 2975, and shall sink as the Nile River of Mitzrayim. And compare that to verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 8. That's very similar. Okay. He builds, verse 6, his stairs, 4609, in the sky, and has founded, 3245, that's as a foundation, his vault, 92, that's Agedda, and that's the vault of the sky, in the land. He has founded his vault in the land. He that calls the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the land, Yahweh is his name. In other words, the all-powerful being, describing the attributes of Yahweh. Verse 7. Are you not as the children of the Cushi? 3569. Now, this is not the Ethiopians. Are you not as the children of the Cushi, the Cushites? 3569. To me, O children of Israel. All right, they were of the lineage of Ham. They had originally the Adamic seed line. They were not the Ethiopians or the Nubians or any of the blacks. They were a non-Yahweh worshiping section next to Egypt. Have I not brought Israel up from the land of Mitzrayim and the Pelishti from Kaphtor? 3731. And Aram from Kir? 7024. Now, Hebrew Cush, Moshe was a ruler there for a time being, but he would not marry their queen because of their religious practices. He was married to her in name only, but would never touch her. And she really got mad, and she aroused the people, and they expelled Moshe as king because he wouldn't have sexual relations with her. No, hell has no fury like a woman scorned. He ruled over the land and improved it for them greatly while he was waiting for the other pharaoh to die. But he would not take her. And that really angered her. So they were not black. They were white. The Ethiopians of today are black, and they try to claim Hebrew heritage. That's a lie. Verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord Yahweh are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from upon the face of the land, saying that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, said Yahweh. Not all of them. He's not going to kill them. He's going to leave a remnant. Verse 9. For, lo, I will command, and I will toss about, 5128, the house of Israel among all nations like grain tossed about in a sieve, 3531. Yet the least grain, 6872, fall upon the ground. Verse 10, here's a qualifier. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say, the evil shall not approach nor come in front of us. They deny Yahweh's power. Well, he's going to prove them wrong, and they're going to die. Verse 11, here's Israel will be returning in the future, and this happened, this is fulfilled. In that day I will raise up the booth, 5521, of David, that's King David, that is fallen, and wall up the breaches of it, that's speaking of Jerusalem, and I will raise up his ruins, 2034, and I will build it, or rebuild it, as in the days of old. Okay. It's going to be rebuilt. Well, it was. But it didn't stay because they apostatized again. And he scattered everybody out, and then the Romans destroyed the whole shooting match. Verse 12. Here's a key verse. So that they may dispossess, 3423, the remnant, 7611, of Edom and of all the nations, the non-Israelite nations, those who are called by my name, Israel's going to do that, says Yahweh that does this. Verse 13, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that the plowman, 2790, shall draw near the reaper, 7114, and the treader, 1869, of grapes, 6025, he who trails, 4900, seed, 2233, that's the people that plant the land, and the mountains shall drop 5197, or drip down, sweet wine, 6071, and all the hills shall melt. They will all be gentle rolling farmland. Verse 14, and I will return the captives of my people of Israel, and they shall rebuild the destroyed cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine of them. They shall also make gardens, 1593, and eat the fruit from them. Verse 15, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be uprooted from upon the land which I have given them. And that's not speaking about that land in the Middle East. That's speaking about this nation, United States of America, this land which Yahweh has given us. This is going to come to pass in the future when Yeshua Messiah rules. Praise Yahweh. May he come soon. Let me get a drink of water and we'll get into the book of Obadiah. Now they've changed this name and their spelling. And it's Obadiah. And that means servant of Yah or Yahweh. Because Yah is the epithet for the entire word of Yahweh. This whole book, and it's a short one, it's 21 verses, is a poem in Hebrew, and it is full of parallelisms. Okay? This is verse 1 and verses 1 through 14, in other words, the whole book, pretty much 1 through 14, you can reference Isaiah 34, verses 5 through 17, and chapter 63, verses 1 through 6. And Jeremiah 49, verses 7 through 22, Ezekiel 25, 12 through 14, and 35, 1 through 15, the book of Amos, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. This whole book is a poem about Edom, and that shows the hatred of Yahweh freedom. So don't tell me Yahweh loves everybody. Yahweh does not love everybody. Verse 1. The vision, 2377, of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, that's 136, Adonai Yahweh. That's proper. It's a title. It's an honorarium. Speaking of Yahweh, when they use it as the name, it is incorrect. Thus says the Lord Yahweh concerning Edom. We have heard a report from Yahweh. Report is 8052. And an ambassador, 6735, is sent among the nations. The Israelite nations. Arise, let us rise up against her in battle. Speaking of Edom, verse 2, behold, I have made you small, 6996, among the nations. You are greatly, 3966, despised, 957. Well, who is more despised today than the Edomite Jews? And they have a small population because they can't really successfully breed unless they race mix. Because they're so much of mixed seed and inbred that they are not fertile. Verse 3. The pride, 2087, of your heart, 3820, has deceived you, 5377. You that dwell in the abodes of the cliffs. That's where they lived on Mount Seir. Okay. Whose habitation is high. They lived up on that mountain. That says in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Well, Yahweh will. Verse 4. Though you exalt yourself, 1361, as the eagle, 5404, and though you set your nest, 7064, among the stars, the top of the mountain, from there I will bring you down, says Yahweh. Verse 5. And you can reference Jeremiah 49, verse 9, for verse 5. If thieves came to you, if robbers by night, how you are destroyed. Would they not have stolen that which was sufficient for them? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleaning? Ah, here we go. Verse 6. How Esau is searched, 2664. That's plundered, kafas. His hidden treasures, 4710, are searched out. That's ba'ah. Well, we're exposing all their financial empire, and it's crumbling and being crushed today. It's coming. Verse 7. All the men of your confederacy, those that were allied with them, a covenant, have sent you away. 7971. Wherever they made covenants and were allowed in, they've been kicked out to the border. The men that were at peace with you have deceived you. Run them out and lied to them and booted them out. Pogrom after pogrom after pogrom. And it's coming again, brothers and sisters, and prevailed against you. Now, here is a dual meaning in this verse, in verse 7. Those that eat your bread have, and here's two possible meanings of the way it is phrased in Hebrew. It can mean put a snare under you, or it can mean put an alien, 4204, in your place, because a snare and an alien can have both meanings. And 8478, takath, can mean under or as a replacement. And then the rest of the verse is, there is no understanding in him. So this is, prophecy is difficult to translate. They have dual meanings. Verse 8, shall I not in that day, declares Yahweh, destroy the wise, 2450, from Edom, and understanding from the mountain of Esau. Now, the more the old guard of the Jews die out, the less their sons and daughters can function. They're just not as smart as the old ones. That's coming to pass. Verse 9, and your valiant men, 1368, Otaman, 8487, and he was one of the dukes of Edom, or chieftains, and you can reference Genesis 36, verse 11, to see who Taman was, and that was their capital city, shall be dismayed, 2865, that's confounded, for the purpose that, 4616, every man, 376, that's Ish, that's not Adam, that's an Ish, that's gender specific, because they were race mixed, they were not Adami, they were Ish. Every man of the mountain of Esau be cut off by slaughter. That means cut off means killed. By slaughter, 6993. And verses 10 through 14, coming up, is not only of past events, but of present and future also. Verse 10, from your violence against your brother Jacob, that's past violence, present violence, and future violence. Shame, 955, shall cover you, and you will be cut off forever. That means you will be forever destroyed. He's going to kill them. It's coming. Verse 11. In the day you stood aloof, 5048, in the day that the foreigners, these were Zur, 2114, foreign as non-Israelite, carried away captive, 7617, his armies, that's Israel's armies, 2428, and racial aliens, 5237, that's Nachri, entered his gates and cast lots, 1486, upon Yerushalayim, that's Jerusalem, 3389. You were even one of them. They helped to destroy it. Verse 12. But do not look on the day of your brother, 251, and that's loosely translated here because they're no longer brother to Israel because they are race mixed. They have lost their racial kindred. In the day of his calamity, 5235, okay, that's Necher, brought about by the racial aliens, and see 5237 for a reference. And do not rejoice, 8055, over the children of Yehuda, 3063, that means those who praise Yah, in the day of their destruction, and that is 6 in the Hebrew Concordance. Do not speak proudly, 1431, in the day of distress, 6869. Verse 13. Do not enter into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity, 343, that's aid, E-Y-D, nor lay hands on their wealth, 2428, in the day of their calamity. And they've done both. They have stolen our wealth. Okay? In violation of Yahweh. They are always against Yahweh. Verse 14. Do not stand in the crossroads, 6563, to cut off escape, 6412. Do not deliver up, 5462, those that survive 8300 in the day of distress, which they did. They turned them over to the Babylonians and Assyrians and whoever wanted them. They helped because they were enemies of Israel. They came against Israel just as the foreign invaders did. Verse 15, because the day of Yahweh is near, 7138, upon all the nations, 1471. Now these are speaking of the non-Israel nations. And they were all smashed. All those nations are gone. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your recompense, 1576, shall return upon your own head. And that's coming too. That's future. Whatever they have been doing to us is going to be done to them. And we are watching their little schemes fall apart. And EFR and all the truther sites, even though they may not be Christian identity, are exposing their schemes and machinations and financial dealings. And the hatred, again, is rising. So we're witness to that, brothers and sisters. Verse 16. Because as you have drunk, 8:3-5:4, and that is drink from the cup of judgment upon my holy mountain, all the nations shall drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, 3:8-8:6, and they shall be, 19:61, as though they had not been. And where are all these nations today? Can't find them. They're gone. They have different names and different racial demographics, but as the nation of Babylon, it's gone. The nation of Assyria, it's gone. The nation of Edom, it's gone and dispersed, and it is now modern day Jewry. And all of this is going to come on them. Moab and Ammon, they're gone. Dispersed, bred out, they're all mixed up. They all look the same over there. If you all strip them all down, they all look identical. Because they are. They're a racial soup. And Edom is bred so much with all other nations, wherever they infest them, and they breed with the local populations because that's the only people they can breed with, because they're so race mixed, they have so many genetic diseases that they have problems with their plumbing. It doesn't work anymore. Let me hit this cold water while it's still cold. This is a marvelous book, but you never hear it preached in the Judeo-Christian churches. You just don't. They won't touch it with a stolen 10-foot pole, as they don't touch a lot of the other books. Even in the New Testament, the New Covenant, there are passages they don't preach on. And I'm beginning on my wake-up call shows to preach from a lot of them, because people know me mostly as an Old Testament guy. That's because I'm going through the progressions and this word-for-word study series from the beginning all the way up through. And when I get done with all these prophets, I'll go into the writings. That will come later this month. Psalms, and then Proverbs, and then just all of them, all the writings, Chronicles. When I'm done completely with the Old Testament, I will go into the apocryphal books. And then I will go into Jasher and Jubilees and Enoch. And then I will go into Brit Kadasha, the New Covenant. That's the covenant which is new, actually, in the Hebrew, because they say things backwards according to the English. And I will go through all of that slowly and carefully. And then when I'm done with all of that, now it'll be quite some time before I am done with all of this stuff. Then I will start over in Genesis and I will replay my studies in my time slot in the order that I recorded them. Because I have done a thorough study and will continue to do a thorough study. There's a lot of people that have tuned in and they're in the middle of what I'm doing now and they missed a lot of the prior episodes. Well, I'm going to run the whole series when I'm done and that'll give me a couple of years worth of shows. And it will free me up to do more on my wake-up call shows and more publishing of text, etc., etc. But I am going to be slow and diligent on all these studies because I love the Word and I want you to love the Word too. And I have learned so much and I want to impart what I have learned to you who don't have the years and years and years of time to just stop everything and study. You can't do that. You're trying to make it out in the world because we're not in the tribulation yet and you have to survive and so does your family. So it is my privilege to be able to provide this study series. Yahweh called me to do that and He's made my life useful where it was not so much before. He has taken me and is using me, and I praise Him for it. And I am a willing servant. I love Him, that I have learned in my life a hard lesson, that there is nothing but Yahweh for our future. And that I can't stress that enough. There is no hope but in Yahweh. No matter what political party gets in or what shill for the Jews they elect. So I just discount that because it's all going to fall apart. Let's continue on with verse 17. But on Mount Zion, that's a figurative of Israel in the future, 6:7-6, it shall be an escaped remnant, 6:4-3, and that is of pure-blooded Israel, and there shall be holiness, 6:9-4, we will be set apart, which is what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be a set apart people. And the house of Jacob shall possess, 3:4-3, and that can be used as possess or dispossessed, depending on context. Here's another word coming up. The house of Jacob shall possess their dispossessors. 41:80, now that can mean dispossessors or the possessions of the ones that dispossessed them. Now, here is verse 18, which is a tremendous verse that everybody needs to listen to. This is future prophecy. And the house of Jacob, that's Israel, shall be as a fire, 7:84. And the house of Yosef, 31:30, that's as Ephraim and Manasseh, the two half-tribes. A flame, that is United States of America for the most part, the house of Yosef. A flame, 3:8-5:2. And the house of Esau, for stubble, 7:1-7:9. That's just dry grass left over after grazing. At 7:1-7:9, that's to it's very flammable. and they shall kindle, 18:14, and a fire is implied by that, and they shall kindle a fire in them, speaking of Esau, and devour them. The fire will eat them up, 3:98. And there shall not be any survivors, 8,300, of the house of Esau, because Yahweh has spoken it. This is what is coming. This is what they fear. This is what they don't want preached. They are tares. They will be removed from among the wheat and bundled up like dry weeds and burned, like the stubble they speak of here. Verse 19. And the Negeb, 5045, and that is symbolic of those of the desert region of Yehuda, Judah, shall possess the Mount of Esau. That's one enemy. And the lowlands, 8219, of the Plishti, the Philistines. That's another enemy. And they shall possess the fields. That should be repossess the fields. 7704, of Ephraim. They're going to take them over again. They will regain possession of that. And the fields of Shomeron, that is Samaria, 8111, which is Israelite territory, and Binyamin, that is Benjamin, 1144, shall possess Gilad, that's Gilead, 1568, verse 20. And the exiles, 1546, of the army, 2426, of the children of Israel shall possess, that's implied, that of the Canaanite, that's the Canaanites, 3669, to Zarephath, 6886, and those of the captivity, 1546, of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, 5614, shall possess the cities of the Negeb. That's the southern portion of the land of Israel. We're going to get all that land back. Okay, we're not supposed to be there now. We're in dispersion. We are not to be there. The mutts have it right now. We are in dispersion as punishment. And the Jews don't actually have it because they're fighting like cats and dogs over there, because they are cats and dogs. They're mutts. They're beasts of the earth. So they don't have a kingdom. They don't have a king. They're not Israel. They're Mamzers. They're mixed breed mongrels. Verse 21. And saviors, 3467, those who have returned of Israel, shall come up on Mount Zion to judge, 8199, the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Yahweh's. This is future when Yahweh smashes these people. Wipes them out. We'll be in on that, brothers and sisters. Yahweh is not a pacifist, and he does not command us to lay down and turn the other cheek for the beast of the field. Only to fellow Israelites. We are not to be merciful on aggressive, violent beasts of the field. They are to be slain. They are to get no mercy. So these Jewslims that are coming in and rioting and beating up our white brethren, they are to be beaten down. They are not to have any mercy. We are not to tolerate that. We are not to be walked on. We are not to be stoned or cursed or spat upon. Yahweh does not command against self-defense. He does not. So regardless of what all the libtards and the touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy Judeo-Christians say, oh, but they're our brothers. No, they are not our brothers. We are a set-apart people. We are to behave as a set-apart people. We are to remain a set-apart people. Now, there are those of us of our kind that are not obeying this. They are not yet of the remnant. They are apart from the remnant because of their disobedience. All we can do at this point in time is to lead by example. And when called upon to preach, exhort to righteousness. There are a lot of people that are just on the edge, that are listening to Christian identity teachers, and they're trying to make a decision. The Spirit is pulling at them. We always, as Israel, true Israel, must take the high ground. We must behave in our personal lives in a manner that gives glory to our Father in heaven. We are not to have coarse jesting or lascivious conduct. Our women are to dress modestly and not show their bodies like street corner hookers, like so many women do out there. They got dresses that go all the way up to woohoo! You see it all the time. The men are going to the bars looking for a pickup. That's not according to Yahweh's law. And all of us have been guilty of that, myself included. I am an old biker. Come on, people. I'm not a shining example. Yeshua Messiah is the shining example. But Yahweh even takes old knuckleheads like me and turns us into something to His glory. My total conversion is due to Yahweh and His love for me and the Messiah's love for me as Yahweh in the flesh. And the gift that He gave me of my salvation and redemption that I have taken to heart. I am not the man I used to be. He's dead. He's gone. Good riddance. I don't want any of the stuff that I used to want. My glory and my joy now is service. He commands us, you in the Ten Commandments, you shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart and all your being. And when you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's what happens to you. And I want to share this. Oh, do I ever want to share it? I wish I could just shout from the rooftops and have people just fall over and worship Yahweh. But it doesn't work that way. We are not puppets. We have free will. We have to come to Him willingly. Conscious decision. My life is a mess because I have made it a mess. And the only way to straighten myself out is to come over and completely stop this life and take up the new life that Yahweh will give me through Yeshua Messiah and His amplifications in the New Testament of the teachings of the Torah. That's all Yeshua taught was Torah. And the Judeo-Christians say all of that is put away. And Yeshua makes them out a liar. But they lie about Him. Oh, it's nailed to the cross. Lies! It is not nailed to the cross. Until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle of the Torah shall fail. And heaven and earth hasn't passed away. And He says, until all is fulfilled. Well, part of it's been fulfilled, but all hasn't been fulfilled. It will be fulfilled upon His return. And until then, He commands us to occupy until I return. Well, that's what we're doing. We're occupying until our Messiah's return. And how do we occupy? We occupy our personal temples. And we use our life to give glory to our Father in heaven. That is the only way we may serve Him. To Him is the glory, not to us. No government structure of mankind has ever been righteous. Not one. Samuel, that's Samuel, warned us what would happen if we wanted an earthly king. And Yahweh told Samuel, they are not rejecting you, they are rejecting me. And Samuel told them what was going to happen. But no, they wanted an earthly king, so they got Shaul, who was a complete bonehead from the get-go. Then we had David. The Jews changed the spelling. And he committed adultery with Bathsheba and sent her husband off to die in the forefront of the battle so he could have her as a wife. And Yahweh forgave him for that, but He killed the child that resulted. And that smote David down to size. He was up on the rooftop watching her take her ceremonial bath because her menstrual cycle had ended and she needed to be purified by dipping in a mikvah. Ceremonial bath to be ceremonially clean in the eyes of Yahweh. And then He sent for her, and Him being the big king, she came. And he was a pretty handsome dude, all muscly and blonde-haired and blue-eyed. Oh boy. And she let him. Well, bad deal. Yahweh really came down on him for that. Nathan the prophet really laid into David and gave him what for. And David fell on his face before Yahweh and prayed and prayed and prayed. But Yahweh was just in his punishment, and the resultant child of adultery died. Yeah, God is love. Yahweh is love. But He's also justice. And He's also wrath. And we can't just separate the justice and the wrath from Yahweh's attributes. He is bound by his own perfection. He cannot be unjust. Physically impossible. Yahweh is perfect justice. Yahweh is also wrath resulting from iniquity of his children, like a father gets angry at a son and spanks him. That's how he treats us. And the worst of the worst of the worst among us, he usually does away with, because they have turned against him and are enemies of our Father in heaven. And we see a lot of these enemies walking around in shoe leather today. And I'm not speaking of the Edomite, Khazarian, Canaanite, Talmud-worshipping Jew. I'm talking about people of Israel, of our bloodline, that have turned against our Heavenly Father and are teaching the doctrines of men to other men and deceiving them for dishonest gain. They have sold themselves to the doctrine of the devil's children, who are the puppet masters in whom they obey. It's coming down the end of that show. Almost time for the curtain call. The curtain's going to fall on their empire. It's starting to break down now. Truther sites are expanding exponentially. Always something new exposing them on the net. EFR is a leader in that. The only place you're going to get really two-seed line Christian identity hardcore is at EFR, because we are a two-seed line Christian identity station. That is what we are about here. We don't water it down, and that runs a lot of people off. They want their ears tickled. I'm not in the tickling business. And neither are the other preachers and pastors at this station. We don't do that. We're not ear ticklers. And sometimes I do fire and brimstone, and I always try to give meat instead of milk. I read the Word because the Word is our only hope. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, I'm a knowledge dispenser. And it's free. Well, I'm coming down toward the end here. Monday is going to be the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It ends at sundown Monday evening. So I hope you have been blessed and you are keeping a good Feast of Unleavened Bread and had a joyous Passover. And I will be doing the book of Jonah, 31:24, that means dove, on Monday the 10th. So may Yahweh bless and keep you, and Shalom Aleichem, praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the Lord.